Hey, here we go. 7 past 12. Chad Hartman, Dave Harrigan. Great to have Susie back. She'll join us in an hour for overrated, underrated, properly rated. The Vikings win, and we give you this soundbite to discuss the Vikings, the win, and where you stand on the purple at this point.
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You play to win. And I don't care if you don't have any wins. You go play to win. When you start telling me it doesn't matter, then retire. Get out.
That's the man who ruined my football program. ASU. Did you see us, by the way? Beat Kansas State over the weekend. I mean, bring on
Orr. Win. And there was such a powerhouse before he showed up, really.
Excuse me.
Drag them down to the levels
Excuse
he did.
Multiple Rose Bowl appearances since the club, a couple miles from here, went to the Rose Bowl. Mm-hmm. Okay. Dominant. Sleepy Giant. Just slayed Kansas State.
They're sleepy.
BYU next.
Oh, look out.
College football playoff collision. ASU. That's Herm Edwards. October 30th, 2002. Only his second season, but when you're 2-5 in New York, you're already what? Beleaguered?
Yeah, it's not good.
And so he said that. My favorite part of the we play to win the game was when he goes, hello.
Hello.
Hello. We play to win the game. So that's where I'm at with the Vikings right now. I want your involvement on the StylesFinancial.com talk and text lines. 651-461-9226. The Minnesota Vikings are 8-2. Show of hands. Who, before the season started, had the Vikings at 8-2? What percentage of football? I can't see you well enough. I need to move this screen a little bit better. Who are the Vikings 8-2? What percentage of NFL observers, savvy experts, had the Vikings 8-2? I'm going to go 10%.
That's high.
That's high.
I'm not sure most of the people within TCO Performance Center had the Vikings.
I think you're right. 10% is way too high. 5%? I mean, the over-under was 6.5. So how many? I certainly didn't. You certainly didn't.
No.
So, 8-2? You should puff out that chest.
Yes.
Puff out your chest right in front of me. Let me see.
Mm.
Oh, very good. Very
Thank
good.
You. Thank
You're
you.
A very good puffer.
Yeah, it was pec day yesterday.
Yeah, it was pec day. Very puffy.
Puffy.
Puffy. I hope you're okay, Jeff. Somewhere. 8-2 or that's it right there. 8-2 or I still don't trust him. Where are you at? You are trust or not trust. Now, what is the bar for trust or not trust? If the bar is they can beat the Detroit Lions. By the way, they played him close, very close, in a very competitive game.
2 points.
Now, they were playing better football at that point. They just finished a run of 3 games through the AFC South. Do you want to see any more AFC South football?
I'm good on the AFC South for about 8 years.
I've maxed on AFC South. Okay, enough. Enough. But they won all those games. Mediocre against the Colts, the Jags, the Titans, or guess what? They won the game. This league is built for parity and close games. That's what it's all about. Now, the Lions yesterday, they took on your Jacksonville Jaguars, and I think, last time I looked, they're still scoring.
Yes. 800 points.
52-6?
One-sided affair. Don't forget, speaking of the AFC South, they did beat the heck out of the Texans.
Yes. Early in the season, the Texans, who maybe slipped a little, but are still viewed as a very good team. The Detroit Lions are the best team in the National Football League, according to the person talking right now. So if the bar is, can you beat that team? And if not, you don't trust them? That's probably an absurd bar. That's probably an unfair bar for a team that is, you thought was in transition, but they're not. They're much, much better than that, right?
Yes.
So I sent out a tweet yesterday. So I'm like, hey, they win the game. That's the point. But do you trust them against Detroit? No. But could they be the second best team in the NFC? Hell yes, they can. So I think today should be more about, can you hit Herm one more time? Just a shortened version of Herm. We'll just cut it off. Here's Herm again.
You play to win the game.
Boom, that's it. That's it. Potter now.
Hello.
There we go. Just the hello.
The hello. Gotta have the hello.
Hello, yes. Very, very good. Very good, Scorsese. I like that. You play to win the game.
Hello.
Hello. Right. Sam Darnold yesterday. Very good.
We got good, Sam.
Very good. Now, opening pitch to Aaron Jones, you're like, I mean, I tweeted at some point, the only way they could lose to, I think I'm going to use the word feeble, this feeble team, and I think the Titans are a little better than feeble. I think they have Will Levis, who I thought was awful early. He was pretty good later. Now, it helped with Josh Metellus. Didn't exactly look like Magellan in taking his path there. Okay, I don't know what he was doing. So a 98-yard touchdown. By the way, if any Viking fan ever complains about a call ever again, I give you November 17th in Nashville. Every call went their way.
I didn't see it that way.
Every single stinking call went their way. No. The Titans had 13 penalties. The Vikings had two. So the next time you tell me that Minnesota teams don't get a break, shut up.
How about the Minnesota Vikings? What do you think of? Disciplined, Chad. Disciplined.
Every single borderline call went the way, including it wasn't even borderline on the one play where they go for it on fourth one. There's an offsides. I don't even know if it was an offsides. Didn't really get a good replay. Then it's fourth and goal from the two. Throw to Addison. Some guy named Mike Brown. I don't think it's the Sacramento Kings head coach. Be pretty impressive if he's also the member of the secondary for the Titans. Yeah, he jumped up a little bit. It's bleeping football. And boom, right to the chest. And 18 flags descend upon the scene. And you watch the replay. Perfect play by the guy.
I disagree.
Handed the Vikings a touchdown. Isaiah Prince, boom, another penalty was just called against him. This is the emphasis on they don't want the tackles, you know, basically in the running back position to top the speed guys like Grenard and Van Ginkle and Turner and those guys. That guy, he was targeted. Isaiah Prince couldn't get a break. I've always loved Isaiah Prince. Never heard of him until maybe the third penalty. I went, who is this guy? I got to write his name down here. They got every stinking call.
Agree to disagree, but I'd say even if you are right, finally making up for Drew Pearson, I would say.
Okay.
Took a long time.
Vindication for Drew. Yesterday was vindication for Drew Pearson.
Bounty Gate.
Brett Favre.
The face mask not seen around the world just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, multiple. Ben Lieber's phantom pass interference.
Yep, absolutely.
And every call. Every call was resolved yesterday because how the refs, Cleet Blakeman?
Blakeman?
Yeah. He's got a place in Afton. Okay. He's trying to get Lurks open. Okay. I mean, seriously. Where does he love the Split Rock Lighthouse? I mean, Cleet. I mean,
good lighthouse.
I mean, first of all, we don't have enough cleats. You know, we need another cleat or two. Not the shoes. We need more cleats named.
Cleet. Cletus.
Yeah, Cletus. That's I don't know if his full name's Cletus or not. Are they the second best team in the NFC? Who are their challenges? Packers?
Yeah, Packers, you could name in there.
Eagles?
Certainly, the Eagles have turned it around after a slow start the first couple games. I mean,
get out of here with the 49ers.
I know. You lose to the Seahawks.
Get out of here. I've loved them like the last 5 years. I keep saying they're the best team in football, and they lose a close Super Bowl, or they lose a championship game. I think they're 500 right now. Get out of here. Vikings are better than the San Francisco 49ers. The Commanders have lost a couple games. Jaden Daniels against Beefalo's defense. I think Jaden Daniels is going to be fantastic. But right now, I would like Beefalo's defense. The Seahawks? No. Rams? No.
I'm still curious on the Rams. With the early injuries, they're still
curious about Halle Berry, but that's not happening either.
Just because they're both in L.A., it doesn't mean that's in any way related, Chad.
Yeah. Everything's tangential to Halle Berry. You can all bring it back to Halle.
I'm just saying, the Vikings went to L.A., and they were beaten rather handily by the Rams.
They were. The Eagles, it's so funny about Sirianni, because he has this amazing record.
Mm-hmm.
But he just looks like a buffoon on the sidelines. And how he lost Hurts, and it seems like their talent. So where are you at? Let's hear from you. Phone calls or texts. Are you, hey, they're winning games. That's the point. You play to win the game. They're 8-2.
Hello.
Or are you, I don't trust them. Because I think today you should be ebullient. You should puff out that chest. Put on the Gary Anderson jersey. Put the Dave Osborne on. Put the Rich Gannon on. Your club is 8-2. Yeah, murky, lost in the wilderness against the AFC South. Look who they have coming up. The woeful Chicago Bears. They're about to be 9-2. And you're still, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. How many shoes do you have? How many shoes just drop out of nowhere? Play to win the game. You should enjoy it. That's where I stand. Where do you stand? Text me or call me. Both ways work. 651-461-9226. Is it National Butter Day?
No, it's not.
Oh. I still like the tune.
It was up for Song of the Summer.
Yeah.
In fact, I think it won Song of the Summer, didn't it?
I think
it did. 2021?
Yeah. Yes, it did. Like, I have the list here, but let's just go with yes. Yes. What is our bumper theme today?
Well, I assume you saw the story about some eagle-eyed viewers watching a music video. Jin, one of the members of BTS,
yes,
wearing what certainly appears to be a yes, University of Minnesota sweatshirt.
That's
so
correct.
You know what? The kings of K-pop are throwing a little love our way. We're throwing it back to them today. Nothing but BTS, baby.
They needed us.
That's right.
Are they all done with their service at this point?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Quentin Robert Hartman loves BTS. Loves BTS. Whenever they come here, guaranteed Q will be there.
Is he into all the K-pop or is it just solely BTS?
I think it's mainly BTS.
Okay.
Yeah. That's where his bread is buttered. See?
I like what you did there.
Like there?
That's dynamite.
Okay. So you are with the Vikings. Play to win the game, 8-2. Love it. Enjoy it. As Mike said, enjoy. Mike Tyson said, enjoy the season. Or are you, really? Can they really beat anybody?
Are you kidding me? You have to enjoy the season. First of all, they have beat teams.
Yes.
They've beaten the Packers. They've beaten the Texans. They've beaten what we at least at the time thought was going to be a very good 49ers team.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Vikings fans throughout the state, what would you say the average prediction was going into the season? Hanging right around 500 would be a pretty darn good year, right?
6 or 7, I would think. But maybe you're right.
Maybe a game under, maybe a game over, but around 500 would be a pretty solid effort for a Sam Darnold-led team that was supposedly rebuilding on defense. Well, you know, the defense for the most part has looked pretty darn good. I don't know how they're going to hold up against the Lions again, now that the Lions are putting up 73 points a game. But yes, enjoy this season. Yes, love it for every single moment you can get for a team that's nearly clinched a playoff spot already.
It was a weird defensive game yesterday because the Titans, with some options in their running game, ran for 33 yards. They had 5 sacks. Levis was pressured 46% of the time. But they also had 16 play. How many plays did they have? Explosives now is defined as when you're passing 16 yards or more.
Mm-hmm.
Levis had 6 of those yesterday. Obviously, the 98-yarder.
That should count for 5 itself.
Yeah, that doesn't get enough credit. Another one. And Chip's out, but Collar's in. Is Kwesi the executive here in the NFL? Think about...
It's a short list. He's on it.
Think about, again, yesterday. I still think Grenard is their best defensive player. I go Grenard, Cashman, Van Ginkel.
It's hard to ignore what the defenses looked like with and without Cashman.
That's fair. Very, very fair. I think we also haven't witnessed it without Grenard.
True.
Right? But Grenard, Van Ginkel, Cashman, were they on this team last year? No, they were not.
Mm-hmm.
All signed as free agents. You know, also signed as a free agent on the defensive side right before the season? Gilmore. He's been a great addition. You know, also signed Sam Darnold. Those are huge positive
getting the running back
signings.
Too.
The running back, Aaron Jones. It normally goes to a team with a great record. Okay. They're 8-2. We'll get to some of your texts in a moment or two. Myron Metcalf's going to join us in about 7-8 minutes. I thought Myron had a very insightful column yesterday about Marvin Haynes, who was finally exonerated. And what are we doing with individuals who are in jail for 5, 10, 15, 20 years? Because I'm with Myron on the amount of money Marvin Haynes is going for. Not enough, Marvin. You deserve more. And part of the story where Myron lays out from a site about individuals who don't get any money, it's shameful what we're doing in our society. Here's the Vikings schedule, if I can match up all the logos. At the Bears. I know the Bears played better yesterday, but then what a shocker. They screwed up to lose. Let's do this stupid game that everybody else does that they make fun of. We're going to do it right now. Win or lose. That's a win, right? They beat the Bears?
Oh, it's tricky in Chicago, Chad. But yes, they're going to win this one.
Okay, then they're going to beat Arizona. They're 10
at home
and 2.
Kirk O'Chains comes to town.
They're beating
next.
Kirk. They're going to beat Kirk. They're 11-2 at that point. Bengals. By the way, I tuned in for the last like quarter and a half. Joe Burrow was making some throws last night that were amazing.
They don't play the Bengals.
Yeah, that's right.
Bears again.
That's the
Falcons.
Bears again. I knew I'd screw up a logo.
Yeah, they're both, you know.
But I just wanted to mention Joe
animals.
Burrow. Joe Burrow was
he was good.
Oh my! He was the for a quarter and a half. He was making throws I've never seen, and great
while constantly being chased around. By the
exactly.
way,
exactly. Okay, they get the Bears at home. They could be 12-2 at that point. They go to Seattle. Let's call that a loss. Okay, 12-3. Green Bay here. Let's call that a loss.
Wow,
12-4. Let's go to the Lions. 12-5. And I think that's very fair and realistic.
Well, who says the Lions is a loss? If the Lions have it sewn up,
yeah.
Vikings might still be playing for seeding.
Yeah. And they could beat the okay, let's play the most optimistic. They also beat the Packers at home, and the Lions, you're right, are just resting everybody mm-hmm. and Eric Hipple. Is there a quarterback? I was trying to think of an Dan Orlovsky.
Scott Mitchell.
Scotty Mitchell. George Plimpton.
Did you just call the team 14-3? Is that the official show projection?
No. But it's not out of the question. It's not out of the question. Enjoy the season. Let's see. Text. I figured the Vikings would be 2-8. Wait until the Kirk and the Falcons come into town for revenge. They got crushed yesterday, and he was lousy. If not for the defense, they'd be a 500 team. Well, they have the defense. The defense is great, and they got Justin Jefferson. He's pretty good. Your Arizona Cardinals are interesting. Well, they're better, but they're not the second best team in the NFC. Chad, the Vikings have a very, very easy schedule. I don't think they make the playoffs. They're going to get blown up because they really aren't that good. Are you kidding me? They're a lock to make the playoffs. To quote Chip Scoggins, quoting Bill Parcells, you are what your record says you are. That's it. Myron Metcalf in moments on CCO. You have multiple opportunities to see Marvin, listen to Myron, and also read his columns. I'm talking about Myron Metcalf. Myron is here on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. I mentioned Marvin inadvertently because his column yesterday is about Marvin Haynes, and we're not talking about this enough because Marvin Haynes, when he was 16, was falsely accused, arrested, and imprisoned for the murder of a 55-year-old man who's a flower shop owner, Randy Scherer. And Marvin has now been exonerated after he spent 19 years in prison, and he shouldn't have spent one single day. And Marvin Haynes and his attorneys are pursuing $100,000 per year for the time he spent in prison. And I agree 100% with Myron. They should go for more. And it's pretty stunning, and I'll get to it with Myron in just a second, the number of people who are finally exonerated after they spend, who knows, a year, 5 years, 10 years in prison, and they get no money. Myron, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming on. What bothers you the most about what has happened so far with Marvin Haynes?
Oh, I think all of it, you know. I mean, from the beginning till now, I mean, I covered his trial. You know, I think I have such a connection to it is because that was the first major thing I did in Minneapolis with the Star Tribune. I was an intern. They sent me to, you know, they said, hey, go cover this verdict in this murder trial. So I was there, you know, when they said guilty. And he wasn't that much younger than me at that time. So, you know, I think I have a connection to Marvin in that I got to live the next 20 years of my life and do everything that every young person should be able to do as they sort of grow into adulthood. And he was robbed of that. So I think just the beginning. And if you look at the description of, you know, who eyewitnesses said did this violent thing, it was nothing like Marvin Haynes. I mean, they were completely different. I think the guy they said was 180 pounds, 6 feet tall. And that's certainly not Marvin Haynes if you see him. So I think just how this all started and the injustice that was done to Marvin and to the family of the victim as well, because they also deserve justice.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to mention that point. Randy Scherer's family deserved to know who killed their loved one. And your point is so right on. I just want people to think right now, you're 16 years old until you're 36, and think about just the day-to-day, the hour-by-hour, or the major accomplishments in life. And by the way, the joy, the disappointments, whether it's schooling, work, relationship, family time, friends, hanging out, the list never stops, Myron. All of that was taken away from him. So how do we arrive at the right financial compensation? What is your feeling about that from the work you've done on this part of the story?
Yeah, I mean, there isn't a number, right, that nope, could ever bring back. I mean, you could say $20 billion and it wouldn't make up for what he's had to deal with. You know, didn't get a chance to see his grandparents. You know, he was close to his mother suffered a serious stroke, you know, and never really had the opportunity to get out and see her. I mean, there are things that have happened in his life that were the result of his incarceration, his false incarceration, relationships that have to be addressed and repaired. And you also have to think, when people talk about the money, and anyone who opposes this, and I hope there isn't anyone who would oppose something like this, but you think about all the opportunities he lost to develop the skills one needs to develop the, you know, education, the opportunities, the resume, whatever you want to call it, to be able to make a living. You know, I mean, yes, he was exonerated, but he's essentially been sent out into the world and said, all right,
Yeah.
You're free now. Go make something of yourself. I think at a minimum,
yes,
he shouldn't have to worry about, you know, anything financial for the rest of his life. And I don't think $2 million is enough to do that. I don't know the thinking with his legal team and exactly what they're going after, but it should be a more significant sum so that at least Marvin Haynes could just focus on life going forward and not have to worry about a dime.
The cruelty, the stain on his reputation, the now that he's out and he's trying to get back to what life was like. Well, that was a 16-year-old. Now he's a 36-year-old. How are people looking at him? How are they treating him if he's pursuing a job? What do you know about what life is like for Marvin Haynes right now, Myron?
I mean, the conversations I've had with him, and I certainly don't know him as well as others, you know, since his release, but I think he has good people around him, which is great. You know, he's had a certain level of support from individuals. I mean, I had a book club that he was a part of, a panel he was a part of, and he certainly mentioned that. But, I mean, he's essentially working kind of a 9-to-5, trying to live a simple life and kind of get back on his feet. But, again, the thing that people can't calculate is the trauma attached to being 16 years old and being thrown into a prison system with grown men who have done these things, you know, mm-hmm. who have committed some of these acts, who are engaged in some of this activity, and you're an innocent 16-year-old, there's a video that everyone should watch out there with the Marvin Haynes interrogation. He's 16 years old. He's talking to police. And at one point he's saying, hey, you know, I want my parent to be here. You know, I want someone else here with me. He's a child. And I think people have to watch that video to understand how young he was when this all happened. And I was right there, Chad. I was literally there when they said guilty. Mm. When Marvin Haynes turned to that jury and he said, you all are going to burn in hell for this. And he yelled it. And I've never had a moment. That was 20 years ago. I've never had a moment in my career since that. If you ask me what is the most memorable, probably for all the wrong reasons, moment in my entire journalism career, it was that.
I believe
hearing
it.
Marvin Haynes hear guilty and to respond the way that he did. There was a juror who came out and she was crying. And she looked like she was saying, I can't believe I'm doing this. You know, it didn't feel right to anybody who was there. And he just had to pay such a significant penalty for something he didn't do.
This is the outstanding columnist for the Star Tribune, Myron Metcalf, also a big part of ESPN. He wrote a must-read. I really encourage you to go to startribune.com and read what Myron wrote about Marvin Haynes. He's 16 years old. He's convicted. He's sentenced to life in prison. And guess what? He didn't do it. Eyewitness testimony turned out to be faulty. You mentioned the police. Have those officers in any way, have they been sanctioned? Have they been punished? Is there a review in any way on their work?
Not to my knowledge. You know, has there been any kind of penalty there? And I guess, you know, the one thing about Marvin, the most amazing thing I would say in the conversations I've had with him is he said he's not mad at anybody. I mean, he said the way that he survived this was that he wasn't going to come out with anger. And he said he's not mad at anyone involved, you know, from anyone who wronged him, eyewitnesses, anyone who put him in that position, because he had to just let that go. And he's a better person than me.
I just was going to say the same thing.
Talk to him.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah, when you talk to him, you realize he's a better person than so many of us in that he just got to the point where he said, you know what? There's nothing I can do about this. I'm going to keep fighting. But he wasn't going to come out angry. And the grace that individual has just as a human being, it'll bring you to tears because you're sad for him, but he doesn't want you to be. You know, everything I've talked to him, he said he's moving forward with his life and he's not going to move forward being bitter. That said, you know, he should have the opportunity to be compensated for what he experienced, but that's just the first element of the journey that he's on right now for the rest of his life.
Bravo to him. That is amazing. Okay, you also write, according to the Most Policy Initiative, in a study of 1,800 exonerees, only 42% were compensated. So, which is shameful. It's disastrous. It's embarrassing. Take me through this process of what Marvin Haynes and his attorneys and his supporters are going to pursue.
It's complicated for a lot of individuals, right? Because the legal process, it's not black and white, you know, when it comes to the exonerees. You know, there are people who have been exonerated by, let's say, the Supreme Court, but the prosecuting attorney within their state, the prosecution within their state, maybe they haven't said that they did something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just so many technical elements of this. But the bulk of the people in Marvin's situation don't get compensated. And I hope that's not his situation. Part of me, you know, writing that column was, you know, in hopes that those officials who are going to make those decisions going forward don't make it complicated. Like, don't put Marvin in the situation that some of these other exonerees have been in where there has to be a fight or they're not compensated. Like, I would hope the folks in Minnesota in those positions of influence would be better than that, would be above that. But it has been a battle for others in Marvin's position because of some of those technical elements attached to being exonerated. Freed from prison under these circumstances doesn't mean you get everything you deserve.
No.
And I think most cases, that's exactly what's happened.
So it's a suit filed with the Supreme Court. Do you understand yet what bar he has to demonstrate? What do they have to show for the authorities to say, okay, here we go, here's X amount of money?
You know, I don't want to act like a lawyer, but I mean, I think Marvin, for, you know, Mary Moriarty and all of the other individuals involved to, you know, put out some of the statements that they did when he was freed from prison, I hope there aren't a lot of layers attached to this. Now, I mean, granted, I think Minnesota law says you can make, at a minimum, you're owed $50,000 for every year of your incarceration. They're asking for $100,000 per year. So I would hope there aren't any complications in Marvin's case. There could be, but why would you want to deal with the backlash attached to that? Because I think there would be. I mean, if those who have the ability to compensate Marvin say no, what would that say about our justice system? What would that say about the people in charge in a situation like this? Is that really the fight you want in this day and age for someone who was a 16-year-old who was stripped of his freedom for something he didn't do? I have learned to do my best to be optimistic because I don't know another way, right?
Yep.
And I just have to believe that the people who can make these decisions will give Marvin what he's due.
Thank you so much for coming on. Thanks so much for covering this story. Keep covering it, and we'll reach out again. Thanks so much, Myron.
All right, thanks, Chad.
Myron Metcalf, he's just really good at what he does, and I want you to read his stories on a regular basis and also Google this Marvin Haynes column because he deserves his just compensation. And what that is, I don't know, but it is not a small amount of money.